Today's readings, and the bulletin has it in the reversed order than our usual order, but that was a typo. We will start with the Old Testament reading, which is Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. And the New Testament reading today from Matthew 5, verses 21 to 30. Murder. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Adultery. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. May the Lord provide an understanding to these words.
Such an interesting part of this great sermon that Jesus gives us on the Sermon on the Mount. This has led to no less than physical maiming of people's bodies, people condemning each other, and yet for me, this passage holds so much hope. As I was telling the kids, what it means to me is having a healthy life, leading us to a way of making our hearts right for ourselves, for living with peace in our lives. But this testament, this other passage, the way it was read today, sounds so negative, doesn't it? Don't we feel like there's this wrathful God who is waiting to just smite us as soon as we even think something badly? It's really not what it's about. So let's take a moment and pray and open our hearts up for the message that we're going to hear today. Lord God, we thank you for these wonderful passages that are sometimes scary and hard for us to hear, but when we look deeper, we know that what we're hearing is really not at all what the passage is about. Help us to understand sometimes this metaphorical and harsh language that is there to help us change our hearts. Change our hearts to love for each other, to love for you. So be with us today. Open our hearts and minds. Give us the ability to critically think about what these passages really say. Help us to embrace the message and feel warm and welcome and loved by the message. We thank you for what you give us. In your name we pray. Amen. We've been reading this book, reading the Bible again for the first time. And last week they discussed the first part of the Bible, Genesis 1 through 11. He spent a lot of time talking about the creation stories and why they're there. There are two creation stories written 400 years apart, according to Marcus Borg. I've heard it 100 years. But when we think about this Bible that looks like it was written in chronological order, that's really not the case. These books, the first few books of the Bible, the five books, the Pentateuch or the Law, that was all written together and is attributed to Moses, but wasn't really written by Moses, and we know it can't have been because his birth and death are all chronicled in that, and even before and after his death. It could be that he wrote some of it. Definitely the major player in those books is Moses, who was sort of the redeemer of Israel. But he spends a lot of time talking about this first story of Adam and Eve. And the words Adam and Eve even have meaning to them, and that is what the Hebrews did in their writing. It was metaphorical with all kinds of meaning put into it. The word Adam, or the name Adam that was given to the first man, really is humankind. And I forget what Eve's name is about, but mother of all people, I think. They're meant to be people who represent all of us. So when we think about this very first story, and Adam and Eve are in the garden, and the tempter comes, and God has said, "You can eat of any tree of the garden. It's all there for you except for this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So the tempter comes, and Adam and Eve are sitting there. And it says Adam and Eve are both there, and the serpent starts to speak to Eve and says, "Oh, so you can't eat of these certain things." I can't remember how exactly it goes. But Eve says, "No, we can eat of anything except this one tree." And the tempter continues with her and gets her to start thinking that if they eat of this tree, this forbidden tree, that they're going to be just like God. Just like God. They're going to know good and evil for sure, but they're going to be just like God. So even though we are people, what is it that we always do? Our first inclination is to make ourselves God. And what I mean by that is our self-centeredness makes us in charge, not God. We forget about our relationship with God. We forget that there's help out there for us, that we have this relationship. And the first thing we reach for is, "Oh, this apple, this can make me better," or whatever it is. Some people say it was an apple, but whatever the fruit was, it was supposed to make them wise. It was supposed to make them like God. But we're never going to be like God, are we? We are God's created beings. We're from ashes we came, to ashes we'll go. We are not God. We're not going to be God. Some religions might say that we will be, but in my opinion, we will never be God. God will always be God. But this is the thing that I'm wondering about. So if this is the first thing that we do, that's where our hearts are. This passage that Jesus is saying, if you even think something bad about your brother, that you're committing murder in your mind. So it's about what we're thinking, what we're feeling. So what we do is important because it shows who we are to the outside world. But what are we thinking? How important is it for our hearts to be free, for us to have peace? How important is it for us to have that inner turmoil be gone? Jesus is saying that it's the most important thing, because if we lose sight of who we are deeply in our relationship with God, then what's the first thing we do? We go reach for that apple to make us God. I want to read the passage out of the Message. And I think it's interesting that for Eugene Peterson, this, well, it's still named murder, but before it's about completing God's law. So you're familiar with the command to the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. Carelessly call a brother an idiot, and you might find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, and you are on the brink of hellfire. So what is this hellfire when all of this negativity is talked about? What's going to happen to us when we murder, when we call somebody a name? Isn't the hellfire what comes afterwards? Not what we're going to get in eternity, but what happens to us right now when we have an argument with a friend? Aren't we just sick with turmoil until we can make it right? This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and you're about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately and go to the friend and make things right. Then and only then come back and work things out with God. I don't think that God is saying that God doesn't want to be in the process. God is saying, know that your brother and your sister is important. And how you act with your brother and sister, it's huge. It's what cleans your soul to be kind to other people. We're talking about using kindness as our theme for camp this year because we feel like we need a kinder world, and that kindness starts within our hearts. It's who we are deep down inside. There are religions, including Christianity, who talk about our true self, that self within us that is perfect, without sin. And we can get to that self if we work on this, but we have to work on it all the time because it's so easy for us to want to pick that fruit that makes us God. And what I mean by that is that putting ourselves first, you know, self-righteousness about whatever it is in our lives that, you know, that may not really even be true. How can we get to the depth of who we are and what we're thinking unless we take this passage seriously? Jesus is saying that what we think and what we feel is more important than what we do. So when we come to church and we're ready to sit down and take communion, having a completely free heart that says that we have been loving companions to our neighbors and our family and our friends is a much quieter and peaceful place for us. We can still come here and take communion and leave our offerings here and be blessed by being here. It doesn't mean that you can't enter the church building and not have a conflict with your neighbor, because we all do. But it means that what we're feeling deep down inside, we need to work on it. We need to work on being at a place where every time we confront a friend, we know that we are compatible, that we have that loving relationship, that nothing's between us that we can't figure out. We live in a world of real turmoil here in the United States right now, and a lot of disagreement with our neighbors. We need to figure out how we can have kindness and love for everyone, no matter what they believe. And as soon as we show kindness, that kindness grows. This passage is not about cutting off your hand or gouging out your eye. It's about taking that part of yourself that doesn't work, that combats your very soul. It's about taking that hate and getting rid of it. The passage about the sheep and the goats, where God says, I'm going to divide the sheep and the goats, and the sheep will come with me and the goats won't. It's not about dividing two segments of people. It's about dividing what's in our hearts, the good parts that where we know that we are one with God and that we love humanity and we are in a good place. and that other part where we're hateful and we say, how can somebody feel like that? I don't understand it. I don't like that. I don't like them. When we hold on to those negative feelings that says, I hate, I can't, I won't, we're doing ourselves that disservice. We are creating our own hell on earth. This is about our own personal well-being, about letting go of those things that make us hateful. When we start thinking, I don't like that person, that's when we stop and say, okay, what makes me feel like this? And what can I do to change that in my heart? Because I may not like what somebody's doing, but they are still a human being loved by God. We can pray for people. We can be kind. We can love people. But if we hold on to that hatred, we are asking for hell. That is our own personal hell on earth. So what do we do to change that? It's that critical thinking. It's that trying to understand the other. There was a time when there was a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I think that those ideas were all taken from the Bible. Seek first to understand. Listen first and then to be understood is one of the main things. I took a lot out of those 7 habits of highly effective people because your heart changes when you listen first and then you speak later. If all you're doing while somebody else is talking is waiting for your turn, are we listening? Are we learning to love each other? Are we getting to that place of peace for ourselves? This is a gift for us today, a gift of learning how to live a peaceful life. Inside, how can we let go of all the angst in our lives? This is the answer. Let go of all those spiteful, awful feelings that you have. Figure out a way. Get some counseling. Spend some time here. Because that's what this book does better than anything else, is teach us how to live a healthy life. We need to be careful how we read it. We don't want to cut off our hand because we think that our hand has sinned. Our hand is doing what our head is telling us to do. It's what we don't like about ourselves. It's what puts us in that turmoil that we need to get rid of. And it's hard to do because we get in a rut of doing what we do every day, right? We all do. And it's easy to fall back into that once we've stopped. So, this week as we go forward, let's try to, every time we feel an anxious feeling, take it up with God. Okay, God, how did I get to this place where this thing makes me so angry? And how can I work this through so that I'm good with you? I think it's the peace that we're all looking for. Don't we all want that beautiful day when we feel no anxiety, no worries? When we get to that place of maturity, of knowing our own hearts well enough to know when we're creating our own hell or not, then we are really in a good place. And God can help us there because God is always with us. That thought process, reading the Bible, asking for help from friends here. So that is what I give to you this week. Every time you feel anxious, I want you to think about this passage. What do I need to do to have heaven in my life now? Jesus says the kingdom is here now. How do we get to that place? So today we have communion. And before we do communion, you know, I've said a lot of really intense things. Just take a moment right now and think about, you know, quiet yourself and say, what is it in communion that blesses me and brings me to that table of that cup of blessing and that bread of life? The table is for everybody. Everybody should come. Everybody can come. It's a blessed event. Amen?